From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Our friend Shelley Repp, New Mexico Dream Center's founder and president, is here in studio with us. Shelley, we talk about a difficult subject, so I have to kind of let our listeners know. We're going to be talking about human trafficking, labor trafficking, domestic minor sex trafficking. So it's an intense subject, not one that we really smile about, but I always like seeing you.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I think we should definitely call a trigger warning for anybody who might have, you know, past history of exploitation, that this could be something that could cause them to have a hard time. And then also if they're parents with young children around, because it is summer, like those kiddos could be around, that maybe this would be something that would be better listened to on your podcast, looking at it or listening to it at another time, if that seems appropriate.
Yeah, so we wanted to put that out there, but I think this information is so valuable. And you, in fact, one called Trafficking in Persons, the TIP report that is put out by the U.S. State Department. I'll tell you a little bit later what I think about that.
I can't wait to hear that, Jim.
and then also the Polaris Project. And the Polaris Project says about themselves, we are leading a data-driven social justice movement that reduces, prevents, and ultimately ends sex and labor trafficking and supports survivors on their path toward freedom and healing. Noble goals. I'm not sure it's actually leading to that yet, but all of these are positive stuff. So the Polaris Project mentions systems that make human trafficking possible. What are those systems?
Right. So today, Jim, we're going to shift our focus a little bit, at least for part of our time together, in looking at what human trafficking really looks like nationally for both labor and sex, and even globally, because it does really impact us as the United States. So we're going to shift to kind of look at those types of things. And so in my sending that information to you with Polaris Project was to kind of help you understand some of the other bigger pieces that are in play. So there absolutely are systems in place within the United States that do contribute to human trafficking, specifically labor trafficking when we're looking at that. In fact, one of the things that I think people don't realize about the United States is that they're involved in all three aspects of human trafficking. And so those three aspects are producing trafficking victims, which we do internally, importing trafficking victims, which we do, and exporting trafficking victims, which we do. So the United States is part of all of these aspects in the human trafficking global picture. And so I think that it's important for people to know, because you wouldn't think, well, how would the U.S. be a part of exportation, or how would the U.S. be a part of importing and creating the creation of this? So we have some practices specifically around labor trafficking that make it appealing for people to want to come to the United States to work. And so we already know that we've got a border issue, right? We know that there are people trying to get across that border. We know there's smuggling across the border. There's all sorts of issues around that. And it is because we are an attractive place to work in the United States in some areas. And so when you're coming from an impoverished nation and an impoverished home, the idea of coming to the United States to make things better for your family is really, really appealing to you. So we have those in place, but we don't take care of those people when they do come here, whether it's legally or illegally. And so because of that, then we've got this whole aspect of fear and not sure what you can and can't do. So that creates this vacuum that is filled by the bad guys, the traffickers and the exploiters.
Well, I encourage all of our listeners to go to polarisproject.org.
Yes.
Click on the report and read it. Again, they have lofty aspirations and maybe taking a little more credit for solving the problem than maybe At this stage, at least.
Well, and what they do is they make policy recommendations. So they do a couple things, Jim. So one thing that's really great to look at on Polaris Project is that they do have a state-by-state analysis of human trafficking calls. So they run the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So they record all of those calls that come in. So you can go onto PolarisProject.org and you can search for the state of New Mexico and it will pull up our report. And I think that's something that's good to look at, especially for people who are really interested in seeing what that looks like. And so they have that. They do a lot of, like policy analysis, national policy analysis for what we could be doing around human trafficking. And then they do provide good information where for us as service providers or people who would like to learn more about human trafficking, they've got some really good resources. They also have something, and I know that we're on the radio, so people can't see it as well, but they have what's called a heat map. And that heat map is useful information from the human trafficking hotline that shows where trafficking is happening within the United States. And so the thing that's kind of cool about that, and I look at that for our state in particular, is it shows our hotspots for the state of New Mexico, and you can absolutely look at those hotspots and see what type of trafficking is likely happening in there, which means that if we ever are at the place as New Mexico Dream Center to really do stuff, is then that gives us an idea of what kind of programs can be in place or what kind of outreach could be done or what kind of services need to be there to assist. And so there is useful information you can get.
So I'm just going to kind of summarize a couple things. I'm a rookie. I've never read that report before, so I took a look at it. So
Way to go, man.
I see that an H-2A visa is one that a foreign national is able to obtain to work in a field for, say, a farmer, a chili farmer. Let's just take that as an example.
Yeah. Nope, that's
down
pretty
in southern New Mexico. Now, a year ago, I had this really fun experience of going and judging in Socorro, New Mexico. I got to judge the New Mexico Chili Growers Contest.
Oh,
a lot of fun. Now, I did ask a few questions about the farmers. I said, look, do you need foreign nationals to work in your fields? They said, absolutely. We couldn't get our crops in without them. And they really like the people and they're very reliable and all the different stuff. But when you read the Polaris Project, Shelley, I can't help but think about the Civil War. And what we did to free the slaves and all the amazing, courageous blacks, whites, and in between people that wanted to get rid of slavery, they were dealing with some crazy stuff. And I bring up slavery because this is slavery. Now it's not slavery to hire a foreign national and take care of them, but to demand that they work twice as many hours for no pay, to threaten them, to send them back to their country because they're not agreeing with you. I mean, there's a bunch of people exploiting people for bad reasons.
Well, and that's really it, Jim. Like when we were talking about these attractional things for working in the United States and knowing that much of our agriculture benefits from foreign nationals coming in, but we don't have protections around that. So, and we don't have even the infrastructure to monitor and assist if something goes on. And so you've got people perhaps working in those chili fields, you know, 15, 18 hours a day, not knowing that they actually, just being in the United States, would be able to benefit from what our laws are across the United States for how you can treat a worker. So they don't know that they have worker or labor rights. And again, they also don't know if they're there really completely legally or not, I think, a lot of the time. And so you can have these exploiters who work and fill in that gray space of worry and fear, and they end up exploiting. We've seen it not just in chili fields. We've seen it in...
Well, one of the things I found out is that it's illegal, according to American law, for a broker to fill out a visa application and then charge that person.
Right.
But that's happening, and it's 100%. Extremely common. They call them recruiters.
Yeah.
And what these people are doing is just exploiting. But that's not necessarily happening in the U.S. That's happening across the border.
It is. But yet, as the U.S., have we taken any action to help with something like this? We haven't. And how do we? I mean, it is across international borders. But these are the people that are bringing in these foreign national people. And how do we help put safety measures?
I have to, again, I'm trying to challenge people, just myself too. I'm challenging myself.
Right?
I just learned this stuff. You just sent it to me.
I know. I'm so proud you read it. Way to go, Jim Williams.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, we have a governor's race going on.
Yeah.
I guarantee you haven't had Mark Ronchetti or Michelle Lujan Grisham talk about this subject.
No.
We need them to talk about it.
We do. I think we do. We
need them to go talk to the president of Mexico. We need them to go talk to some of these other South American countries. Anywhere there are people coming up from these countries.
Right.
We need the farmers to be protected to make sure that they're hiring people and the system is legal and they don't have to feel bad about certain things. If there's people that could possibly be taking advantage, they need to be held accountable. I mean, you got to treat people right.
You do. I mean, honestly, we look at this through this biblical lens, right, Jim? So like looking at how you treat another person matters in who you are in Christ. And I think that that's something that is absolutely worth holding people accountable for. I think if we were able to look at clearing up some of these kinds of issues on the border, don't you think that we would have some better solutions on our border? But because we haven't had those kinds of conversations, because we've got the Mexican consulate in New Mexico, I think having those kinds of conversations about what this looks like and helping create bridges, so to speak, for people to work here fairly and ethically is something that we could do and be leaders in our nation about. How wonderful would that be?
Well, be leaders in the world.
In the world, 100%.
You know, partly we're going to talk about the trafficking in person report, the TIP report, which is put out by the U.S. State Department. Well, I guess I can start now and say I didn't think much of that report.
Yeah.
I mean, you said we were walking in today that it provides kind of a baseline. It does give some information. But the whole time I'm reading the report, it's got a breakdown of every country in the world.
Yep.
And here's the thing that disappoints me more than anything is you read a statement like this and I can't help myself. It says in that report that the United States is meeting all of the minimum requirements of, you know, addressing human trafficking. Well, if that's true, our standards are pretty low.
Right.
So I go back to, okay, we've got the governor's race going. We're going to reelect an entire House of Representatives in the state of New Mexico. So we need to start thinking about, okay, The White House. Everybody can complain about that all day long. Well, to me, let's as New Mexico. I know Texas is doing some things. I know Arizona is doing some things.
Right.
We as New Mexico need to take care of this ground. We need to take care of our state. We need to do some negotiation with Mexico and these other South American countries because they're kind of like the bridge between us and literally millions of people are coming into the country.
Right.
And we need to take care of it. There needs to be legitimate, timely ways people can legally immigrate into this country. That's how our country was built.
Right, exactly.
I understand from immigration attorneys it could take 10 years.
Oh, yeah. No, it is such a challenging process. And in talking about these visas that you were talking about with guest workers, the other thing that I want to mention when we talk about visas is that we also have what's called the U visa and the T visa. And those are emergency-based visas for people who have been victimized in the United States. So if they are a survivor of a violent crime committed against them in the United States, then they can apply for one of those visas. A U visa is for kind of any category of violent crime, whereas a T visa is specifically to trafficking. And even within those visas, there's challenges that go with that. They'll take years for that to happen. But we realize that if we, Jim, if we were to have an actual strategic plan in the state of New Mexico to address human trafficking, then what we would be doing was we would be addressing these types of issues, because then people would have recourse. Right now, there's not recourse. And so when you don't have recourse, there is that gray, nebulous area that the bad guys fill in, because there's nobody who's guarding the gate, so to speak, with that. So to me, when I think about, you know, this call for legislators and for the upcoming election, you know, the gubernatorial election, as well as the representatives, is to look at the priority of what we can do in the state of New Mexico to address the systemic trafficking that happens across our state.
Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, is with us all the way up till 2 o'clock. By the way, while we're talking, and if you have a question for Shelley, I mean, Shelley's been in the middle of this for a while. How long have you been working in this?
So I've been working directly with human trafficking victims since 2011.
Yeah, and I mean, you have an outreach team. We're going to talk a little bit more about the harbor. We're going to talk about the lighthouse and other programs that you have. But we're going to spend the next segment framing what the law needs to be in order to help law enforcement and in order for us to actually do something to prosecute these
right.
crimes, because these are terrible crimes. We'll be back with Shelley Rep right after these messages. Stay with us.
Legacy Academy desires each of their students to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A child's education is a partnership between the home, the church, and the school, with each playing a vital role in the upbringing of the child. Here's Pastor Daniel McCabe.
We have a mission. We want people to connect with God. We want each kid to discover their purpose. We know it's individual for each one. And then we want them to develop a lifetime habit of self-sacrifice. So we instill that in our kids as well.
Legacy Academy recognizes that education is a lifelong process. They encourage students to seek higher education after completing high school. Legacy Academy prepares students to achieve academic excellence by providing a learning environment with a Christ-centered perspective. More information is available at legacychurchnm.com. Legacychurchnm.com. I'm Kelly, your teacher's assistant for Bible School of the Air. The Bible and the information contained within is of primary importance and deserves our undivided attention. With all of the bad news, fake news, and biased news we consume on a daily basis, it's critical for us to consume the good news that only comes from the pages of Scripture. In addition to the daily lineup of quality Bible teachers heard on KLYT, we also purpose to create an atmosphere of learning while growing in our relationship with God. Each Saturday, starting at noon, KLYT provides verse-by-verse teaching from Chuck Smith, Chuck Misler, and Skip Heitzig. Classes wrap up in final during a Q&A session with Scott Richards. I'll look forward to you joining me Saturdays from noon to 4 during Bible School of the Air here on KLYT. It's tuition free. Every week is a great week to start. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. Shelley, I've known you since you were 15, I think.
I think that's right, because guess what? That's when I got saved. I was raised in a Christian family, and I got saved at FCA.
Yeah, and how did this little girl...
Right?
Start dealing with sex traffickers and walking out with your outreach team on the streets of Albuquerque. I I'm nervous about that, but I'm also proud of you and all that you're doing here. And I every time you come on, I learn new stuff. There's about a $4,000 debt incurred by people, even sometimes coming in on work visas that are legitimate because some so-called recruiter, well, $4,000 a pop, who's making all the money with this human trafficking?
Right. So the people making the money are the smugglers and or traffickers. So it is the people that are in that controlling position of that person. So I'm going to give you an example, an Albuquerque example of how this debt looks. And so we had a man from one of the Central American countries come in legally into New Mexico. But he had an agent in Mexico that helped him set this up or whatever. And so he paid, I don't know the exact number, Jim. And so let's just say it's 4,000, but I honestly don't know what that number is. But he paid this guy, you know, thousands of dollars. Or no, he didn't pay him. He owed him. He signed an agreement that he would pay this money back. So he comes into the United States and he has his daughter, and who's 11, and they're staying with a friend that was recommended by the guy who brought him in. So that agent that brought him in. So they're staying with this guy in this house in, Rio Rancho. And, the guy's struggling to find work. You know, the immigrant guy's trying to find work and he's trying to get out there and he's just not being real successful. He's not finding something, but then he gets this job offer that was brought to him by this same agent. And this job offer was for, some work that was actually in like northern New Mexico. And so I think that the work was in Shiprock. And so, so he was going to have to go to Shiprock. Well, what is he going to do with this kid, right? And so, so the guy agrees to keep the child. And so the guy goes to Shiprock, ends up, he doesn't get any work. I mean, he works a little bit. He just makes a few bucks. He comes back and now is the term limit for this money he owed. And he doesn't have the money to give to the guy who did this. And so the agent said, well, you know what? I will forgive that debt. In fact, it will be paid by X person, which was the man living that they were living with in that home in Rio Rancho. And so that man essentially paid off the agent to keep the daughter.
Oh, that is so heartbreaking.
And the dad had to leave. And he did. And the way it was found out is through the public school system. So the kid was in school and she told somebody that her dad had to leave. And so she was staying with this guy and she knew that her dad didn't have to pay debt anymore because of this transaction. And so that's what they investigated. So that's the example of something that happened here in real time. The other thing is we look at, like, I think about 4,000 bucks and I'm like, I mean, $4,000 is a lot of money, but as most Americans, you go, okay, well, you can pay that off. From somebody who's coming from an impoverished nation or from an impoverished family, $4,000 is just nearly impossible to pay off just thinking about it conceptually. So there's always hope. If I work hard, I can do that. But because those strings are all tied by that trafficker or that exploiter, they just contribute to that debt and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like we know, in like the illicit activities that are happening in massage parlors. And so there are women being brought in from Asian nations who are working in these massage parlors. And so they have to pay, you know, the thousands of dollars to get here through their agent. And then they are kept essentially in those massage parlors or in a home rented by whoever's running the massage parlors. But then that debt continues to incur. The food that they eat, trying to get their laundry done, anything that they do, they have to pay for essentially. And so that debt grows and it just continues to grow over time until there's just no way to get out from underneath it.
And they're purposeful about not really allowing them to have enough success to get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me tell you about this situation. This is labor trafficking up in northern New Mexico in the Shiprock area. And so there were a bunch of workers in the field out there. So this was prior to the legalization of marijuana in New Mexico. And so they had some fields up there where they were growing weed. And so they imported a bunch of Chinese citizens to come and work in these fields, right? And they're like, hey, you're going to have housing, you're going to have food, we're going to take care of you, those kinds of things. So they had all these broken down trailers out in this field. Like, some would have doors, some just had plastic sheeting as doors. They didn't have electricity, they didn't have running water, and they didn't have food, and they didn't get paid. But what would happen is the people who were running the activities in the field would come and they'd be like, oh, hey, you know, do you, you need some food? Here's some food. You need some cigarettes? Yeah, here's some cigarettes. And so in lieu of payment, they're giving these things to them, is what the people are thinking. But all of those things they were giving to them are adding to the debt that those folks had that they owed to the agent who set up this work, quote unquote, for them.
So I'm thinking that a lot of our listeners right now are going, oh, those evil Chinese exporters or those evil Mexican exporters. And we keep pointing the fingers at all these people outside of our country. But here's the truth. Labor trafficking, there's a demand for labor. And somebody is hiring these people that is an American and allowing these people to be exploited. And the one that really bothers me is there's a demand for sex with children.
Yep.
Your website says, I'm skipping all the way down my list.
Yeah, that's all right.
Demand for sex with children is steady and profitable.
It is. It absolutely is. So here's what we have to think about when we're looking at sex with children. And why? Why is there a preference for something like this? Looking at it economically, you can charge more for sex with a kid than you can for sex with an adult, because sex with an adult is almost bordering on legal, so to speak. We would look at it and we still say prostitution, there's a trafficker or whatever, but this is an adult. So it could be spun as that this is something that is consenting. It's not with children. So that means you're going to charge more for that child. There's a couple of other things. So people who have been commercially sexually exploited are likely to have STDs. They're likely to have a lot of other kinds of physical problems around that industry. Kids, they're not as likely to have STDs. And so they feel like a cleaner option in so many different ways. So you pay a higher price for something like that. We have to understand that there is this demand in the United States for men to purchase children for sex. Like, demand is there. If there was not demand, we would not have this kind of a product. And so if there is demand, that means that there's always going to be this rat race, so to speak, of these traffickers to find supply. And so if they have trouble finding supply, then they're going to look further and wider and harder, and it's just going to make this crime more and more dangerous.
25 million people are trafficked worldwide, and that includes the gamut. That includes labor trafficking. That includes sex trafficking. Adults are sex trafficked as well as children.
Right, right.
So, Shelley, what we're going to do is take a break right now, but we're going to come back and talk about the New Mexico Dream Center and the programs you offer and what you're doing. But we'll continue to go through all of these things. One of the things we'll also cover in our second half hour are the laws and the legislation that you're going to be pushing to try to make these crimes such high-level crimes that law enforcement will then be able to make them a priority.
Right, absolutely.
We'll be back with Shelley Rupp right after these messages. Stay with us.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, "I need continuous infilling because I leak." What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
A few months ago, I told you about states and cities that'll pay you to relocate there. Hi, I'm Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute, and today I have an update of those places that are hoping to build up their populations and their tax base by recruiting workers who have the option of living anywhere. Typically, those are people who can do all their work on a computer and can work remotely. The state of West Virginia is paying qualifying workers $10,000 to move there. Two counties in northwest Alabama are also offering $10,000, as are two counties in northwest Arkansas, cash or cryptocurrency. For qualifying new residents, Hamilton, Ohio will pay $10,000 on student loans. If you're a worker who can work from anywhere, these offers and more like them may be worth checking out. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit moneywise.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Shelley, I just mentioned before the break, there's 25 million people trafficked worldwide. It is bigger than big business.
Bigger than big business, Jim. When we look at that, the estimate, because again, this is an illegal crime, so you can't know numbers exactly, but the estimate that comes out for the amount of profit that is made through this trafficking worldwide is $150 billion, so billion with a B. So when you look at that, Jim, that is more than Disney, Coca-Cola, Netflix, and Starbucks combined in revenue. This is a huge amount of money. So this is very motivational for people to continue to do. There's lots of economic motivation to continue with this because it's easy money, so to speak. And that transfers back down to our state because this is what it looks like on the state level, Jim. So we had our clients, and one of them talked about what she would get, what she could charge. And so she was 19 years old. And so basically she could, charge $50 for a 15-minute sex act. Okay. $50. And now she didn't keep that $50, but that's what she could charge. So if you do that, she could charge, you know, or she could do perhaps 10 a day on 6 days a week, about, is generally what we should do. So when you take that and you multiply that out with one person, you end up with like $200,000. Well, if you add three more people to that, so four people, which is a very small trafficking ring, then you're looking at almost $1 million in untaxed revenue. So it is worth the effort. In New Mexico, we do not have good legislation that addresses this. If you get slapped with this kind of crime at the state level in New Mexico, you've got a three-year top penalty. Three-year top penalty for exploiting people because we don't have legislation that addresses this crime as the kind of crime that it is.
So a person on the street that's in law enforcement, I mean, they feel as upset about this as we do.
Oh, 100%.
But their mandate is to go take care of their priorities are to take care of the highest level crimes.
Right. It's to their benefit.
Down to the lowest level. And as we all know, we don't have enough police officers. We don't have enough sheriff. We don't have enough law enforcement on the ground right now. And there's many reasons for that. That's a different topic.
Yeah, that's not my show.
Yeah. But we do need to address that too. And again, that comes to the governor, that comes to the legislature. So let's talk about what do you need. I want our listeners to think about this. Don't just listen to Shelley. Participate in being part of the solution. In other words, when Shelley says, hey, this is what we need our legislature to consider, we're about to elect a whole new House of Representatives in the state of New Mexico.
Right.
And I want to challenge those people running, and I want to challenge our listeners to really investigate what do we need to do and go challenge those representatives that are about to run to help you with this.
Right, exactly. So here's some things. First of all, we need to change the criminal code around the definition of trafficking. So right now, trafficking falls with arms trafficking, which is weapons. It falls with drug trafficking. And there's a very large movement to get away and kind of decriminalize specifically drug charges. And so human trafficking is kind of lumped in that, and it needs to be separate because human trafficking, sex trafficking specifically, is around the sexual exploitation of people. It should be considered to be a sex crime as opposed to that whole different category of criminal activity. These traffickers are setting up children, are setting up adults for rape and multiple rapes a day. Traffickers, it is very common for them to rape and continue to have sex with the women or the children that are within their control. That's part of the common aspect. In fact, many traffickers will impregnate the women or the girls in their trafficking ring on purpose because that child brings another level of control for them to have. And so when we look at this, we can't just say trafficking in general. We need to understand that human trafficking looks and acts different and should have that type of criminal penalty associated with it as other interpersonal crimes are. And so it's an interpersonal crime. It should have the same kinds of criminal repercussions as violence against a person. When you go and you rape somebody, that type of crime has a higher statutory level than what human trafficking looks like. And that's wrong. 3 years isn't enough. We need to look at increasing that. Beyond that, Jim, we also need to look at coming up with a state plan. So if we've got these new legislators coming, like, I would love to talk to them. I will give you all my contact information. There are plans in Texas. There are plans in Arizona. There are plans in Louisiana. We look at these types of things happening in other states, and we don't have any sort of state initiative or statewide plan for how to take care of our victims or how to be able to look at this through the lens of the entire state. We've made efforts with that, with the Attorney General's office, but you know what, Jim? It is going to take our governor and our legislators taking this issue seriously for something like that to happen. And I think that that's a huge step, that if we could have a plan, then we would be able to have a systematic presence in the state of New Mexico for identification, for service provision, for criminal accountability.
You haven't addressed the criminals that are soliciting. The customers,
right?
Are bad guys too.
They are.
And what are the penalties for them if they get caught?
So they're few to none, because generally what we see is law enforcement does not look for the purchaser. And again, it kind of goes back to, Jim, what you were saying about the prioritization of these larger crimes. And so they go for the trafficker sometimes, and the people who are actually creating the demand tend to walk away. Or in that situation, because the girl or the woman, not the girl necessarily, because they've changed that in New Mexico, that there's not a child prostitute, but they can look at the woman and they can see her as a prostitute, so she can catch a case, so she can be the one that ends up in trouble and in jail.
Not the trafficker.
Exactly. So it's this forced criminality aspect. And so that's why we need a state plan, because without that, then the traffickers are still the ones they want to go after, but the people who are creating the demand are walking free. And so if we look at this across the state of New Mexico, we can actually put some things into place that would protect our children, that would offer services and help with this situation.
And Shelley, you're not just saying this is what needs to happen. You're participating. You're helping write legislation.
Yes. So we work with the Attorney General's office. They're kind of the state partners that we have the closest relationship with in looking at how we can write legislation to adjust the criminal code. We need to change some definitions within our criminal code to address trafficking. And we feel like that's the good first step, because if we don't, then this is not enumerated, which means it doesn't have that fiscal impact next to it as other crimes do. So we've got to do that as step one within this system. That being said, Jim, you know that I've talked before about how New Mexico is one of five states that does not have residential services for kids who've been trafficked, which is a problem because the average age of entry are the teen years. And so we're working on that, solving that problem. We've got a piece of property. We are working on a residential facility program to be able to provide services for these young people. So we are also wanting to look at capital outlay. We would like the state of New Mexico to help us with the cost of this kind of project because this will benefit the entire state. In this process, because we don't have a program for this, we would have to qualify our program under something that's called new and innovative, which means just that. It's new and innovative. We don't have that. So there's no bar to be set for this right now. So what we're doing in this programming, in writing policies and procedures, in writing programming standards, all of that is setting the bar. And we want to do that for the state of New Mexico. We want to be able to provide those services. So that's another piece within legislation. So
one of the things that you want to do that's new and innovative is have a place for children that are trafficked to actually stay and live when you pull them out of trafficking.
Exactly.
And you've mentioned there's laws against kids entering an adult shelter or other things because they're underage.
Right, exactly. So we've created these barriers. We're saying, yes, we want to help the kids, but then we have barrier after barrier after barrier to actually providing practical, helpful responses for them.
I can't help but bring up Victoria Martin.
Oh, man, that's all in the news right now.
And the trial going on right now. And nobody's mentioned trafficking, but it appears to me as an outsider that her mom trafficked her.
She did. Her mom did traffic her. By the definition of what human trafficking is, her mom was selling her online for drugs, for methamphetamines, and so that was absolutely happening. Because this trial is focusing on Fabian Gonzalez, my guess is that it's specifically pointing to the criminal behavior that was happening with him. We've talked many times. So when we do trainings around Albuquerque, around the state, and we talk about familial trafficking, the trafficking of children within families, we talk about the Victoria Martin's case because it is obviously still fresh in the minds of so many people. And it was such a horrific case, but it is an example of what is happening if we don't address this kind of stuff. Like how many children, Jim, have to go through this kind of stuff, die, be seriously injured, end up with STDs. The little girl, you know, when they were going through that whole thing, showed up with STDs. How often does this have to happen before we take it seriously? And I mean that with our governor, like CYFD needs to be held accountable for this. So many missing and broken pieces that go into this type of situation. So when are we going to look at this and say, this isn't okay in the state of New Mexico? We need to care for the kids because guess what? Right now, the kids aren't okay.
And this is so much more common than I could have ever imagined. That the problem is large. This is not a few isolated cases. This is pervasive. This is big, big business and only getting bigger because we're allowing it to.
Exactly. Because, again, we are not addressing it systematically throughout our state. We are watching our child welfare department that is supposed to be caring for those children not being able to do that type of situation. We have not addressed so many of the different family issues that contribute to the essentially the pathway of children into, and it's heartbreaking because we're not being part of the solution in New Mexico. And we need to flip the script on that. Like it's time for us to understand that it's serious and it's not going to get better unless we determine that it's going to get better. In fact, it will get worse if we're...
The New Mexico Dream Center is a Christian ministry. They're a 501c3. They're trying to share the love of Christ with people. Anybody and everybody that is faced with human trafficking, with human sex trafficking, they specialize in identifying children that are being trafficked. They go out on the streets of Albuquerque. They will train your organization,
yes,
how to go out on the streets of Raton or Santa Fe or anywhere in the state of New Mexico to help do that. Shelley Rep is the executive director, and we're going to come back and talk about the New Mexico Dream Center, what you're able to do now and what you hope to do in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
We'll be right back.
If you're ready to study God's Word beyond going to church and personal Bible study, you're ready for Calvary College. Take your learning and your life's purpose to the next level with an education in biblical studies. Registration for the 2022 fall term is open right now. Classes happen on-site at Calvary Church Albuquerque and online. Classes like Old Testament Survey, Worldviews, Apologetics, and Theology. Plus, book-specific courses like Daniel, Romans, and Revelation. Calvary College partners with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University so you can earn an accredited undergraduate or graduate degree, or simply increase your knowledge of God and His Word. Your application for the 2022 fall term is available now, and classes start August 15th. Apply today at calvarychurchcollege.com. That's calvarychurchcollege.com.
Are you a mother, or maybe even a grandmother? What about expecting to be one? Join Lenya Heitzig and Sheology, helping mothers shape and launch the arrows of the next generation. Sheology's Bible study, Launching Arrows, Tuesday night, 6:30, starting August 9th at Calvary Westside with worship, teaching, and breakthrough sessions. Come as early as 5:30 to experience the pop-up market with a chance to win weekly giveaways for those who register with the Calvary Church check-in app. Bring a friend for weekly DIYs and SoPo Roasting and Brewing Company each week before the study begins. Take home something beautiful that you've created with your own hands. Stay after the teaching to take part in the breakthrough sessions. Launching Arrows, the latest Sheology study at Calvary Westside, starting August 9th. Register online and find more details at Sheology.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus has just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center here in Albuquerque. You can access their website at nmdreamcenter.org. Their human trafficking hotline is 505-504-1301. You can call or text that. Also, don't lose track of the national human trafficking hotline, which is 888-373-7888. Today we've been talking about the trafficking in person report. If you Google that, it'll take you right to it. We also have been talking about the Polaris Project. You can go to polarisproject.org and access those reports. I think it's good baseline information, but it'll give you a list of things that you want to challenge our new governor.
Right.
By the way, challenge these people before they get elected.
Yes,
Make them make some commitments.
Let's get some commitments. I think that's a great idea because it sure seems like when they get into office, all those things seem to disappear, don't they?
Yeah, we need some public statements made about this because this is, you know, the partisanship always surprised me in politics. You know, I read Proverbs 3 and it talks about tying kindness and truth around your neck. So I happen to believe you can have both at the same time, that truth and kindness can you don't have to argue. You don't have to be mean to each other. Now, you can be firm. You can be direct. I'm not saying be a wimp.
Right. No, not you, Jim.
And I know you are not because you are in the I shouldn't say you're in the face. You are professionally making our legislators. You're giving them the stuff, though. Hey, we're writing this bill. You're with the Attorney General's office. They've worked. I know they're working tirelessly. You've worked with the Sheriff's Department and APD. And I know that those officers want this to be a priority.
Right.
So, Shelley, tell us what you are able to do as the New Mexico Dream Center. You have several programs.
Yep. We do. So our first program is called Spoken For. And Spoken For is our aftercare program for survivors, identified survivors of human trafficking. And so we help them find assistance through case management, emergency shelter, transitional living, getting them connected to the kinds of services they need. So they might need therapy. They might need help with like a social security application. Like there's so many different things that are out there to help people who are in really, really tragic circumstances. And that's what our case management program does. And so in looking at that, that's kind of our first, that's the first program that I started way back in 2011, and it's still going strong today. So then our next program, though, was developed because we had three young people in our Spoken For program who had all been exploited by traffickers as homeless youth. And so I had to do something. Like, we can't just let this continue to happen. So we started The Harbor, which is a drop-in center off of East Central. And that drop-in center provides walk-up services for young people who are experiencing homelessness. So they can get showers, they can get food, they can get clothing, they can get connected to services so that maybe they don't have to sell their body on the street and be able to get into a different situation. And so we started The Harbor. And then, you know, people don't just magically appear at your door when you say, oh, look, I've got an outreach center for you. I've got a drop-in center. So we started a really robust outreach program. And so we do go out on Friday nights and we are looking for people who look like they are being exploited. We are looking for youth who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. So we do that. We've got outreach happening at skate parks. We're working on the development of our fall outreach programs, which would include outreach in strip clubs, outreach in the truck stops, and so those types of outreach venues. And so we're in the process of getting all of those put together. So we had outreach because, you know, then what do you do? So then our program we're working on with the Attorney General's office is our REACH program. And we had written a grant called Improving Outcomes for Child and Youth Victims of Human Trafficking. And we're not a state agency, so we didn't qualify to just run that grant ourselves. So we partnered with the Attorney General's office, and we are basically going across the state of New Mexico, putting together resource pathways for these young people to be able to get resources wherever they are identified. So we've got that project. And then we've got that piece of property I was talking about in the previous segment, which was donated to us because we don't have any sort of residential services for young people who've been trafficked. So we're working on that project right now. All that to say, Jim, I'm a little bit busy.
And can you use volunteers?
I can use volunteers. So we love volunteers in a couple of different avenues. So there's always outreach. That's kind of the easiest way to get involved in volunteering with us. We also love working with volunteer groups. Like, for example, Tramway Community Church is coming to our facility on Saturday, which is World Day Against Trafficking, and they are going to help with some projects around our campus that we have. And so they're going to be working on a couple of things there. So your Bible study group or church group or, you know, community group, however that works, we love those kinds of volunteer things. We love people who do drives for us. We do so much outreach. We always need things like hygiene items, especially travel size hygiene items, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, deodorant, things like that. And so doing a drive for us is always something that's super, super helpful.
Well, and Carol, who called our station.
I know. I was wondering if Carol's going to call today.
She's a retired woman. And I mean, I've been so blessed by Carol because Carol called and said, look, I'd really like to do something. So she lives in a retirement community.
Yep.
And she let her neighbors know that they needed hygiene items, like the, you know, the travel size toothpaste and shampoos and all those. And she collected a big box and I think is continuing to do that for you.
Right. Well, and here's the thing that I think about with people like Carol. We should all be like Carol. Like, and not that you have to go and do hygiene items, which that's fine, but we all have a part to play in the solution around this, Jim. And the part might be you live in a retirement center and you're like, I can collect these things. The part might be that you know a legislator that needs to hear this information. The part might be that you can make a financial donation to us. The part might be anything like that. But the reality is Christ has you here, me here, the people here, at this time and place in history for a purpose. And let's start working that purpose. Like, it's time that we as believers identify those societal problems and what is God calling you to do with it. That doesn't mean that you have to come on outreach with me, but it might mean something else. It might be something I haven't ever even thought about, because guess what? As much as it seems like it, I'm not the smartest person in the world. And so there's things that I don't even know about or haven't thought about that could be part of the solution that we need. And I think that's how God works, right? Like, those are the miracles we see today, is God bringing the right person at the right time to fulfill a need.
Going out on Friday nights.
Yeah.
On the streets of Albuquerque. And I just want to give our listeners some perspective. Okay, that makes me nervous. I told you when you told me that.
Yeah.
That I went down and parked in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant down on, I think, San Pedro and Central.
Right. I think it was Louisiana and Central.
Louisiana and Central. Well,
maybe. I don't remember.
Okay,
it's been a while.
I went to the chicken store.
Yeah.
Is that Louisiana?
That's Louisiana.
Okay.
I thought it was the chicken store.
Because I thought, isn't the market right across the street, the Asian market?
So.
Isn't that also on Louisiana? That's why I was not seeing the two together.
Mm-hmm. It is across the street. So it is across Louisiana.
Well, that intersection.
Yeah.
I just have to tell you.
Hi.
Yeah. At 12:30 at night. Wow. I mean, I had some people come up to my window.
Yeah.
That I simply said, you need to get away from my window.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's an unfriendly place. And you guys are out seeking people and developing relationships. And I can't help but ask you, you know who the traffickers are, but they probably know who you are too.
It's very likely. It's very likely.
And it's likely they don't like what you're doing.
Well, I think though, when we look at this, Jim, our model is to be the good guys on the street. Like, that's legitimately what it is. So when we go out, we give food, hygiene, water to anybody and everybody we encounter. Because what we want is we want those people to say, oh yeah, no, we like New Mexico Dream Center. Those guys are the good guys. We like them. Because if we were to just go, we're only going to give items to children, or we're only going to give items to women who look like they're, you know, being exploited, then what we're doing is we're actually targeting ourselves and targeting them. Mm-hmm. By going and saying, we're here to help everybody. We carry resources for everybody, in the sense like, hey, our program can't help you because you're 50 years old. But guess what? Here are three programs within walking distance that can. So we want to go out in that fashion, because we want to not cause more dissension than necessary out there. That being said, that we are online. It is easily, you can easily Google. If you Google human trafficking and New Mexico and service provision, our name's going to pop up.
But I like the fact that somebody might be being trafficked, but they're going to speak with one of these other people that you've assisted, and those people are going to say, yeah, you can trust them.
Yep. Exactly.
And that's so important. We've made the statement before, what kind of world is it that we're living in when you as a child feel less at risk living on the streets of Albuquerque instead of in the home with your family?
Right. It's crazy to think about that, but we've heard that over and over again. We need to look at our families, Jim. We need to look at our neighbors and see what we can do to help bring love and life, Christ's love and life, to the people around us.
And you have hope that this is a solvable problem.
I do. I think that it is. I think it's going to take some concerted effort. I think it's going to take effort in multiple ways. So looking at law enforcement, looking at regulation, looking at legislation, looking at service provision. There's a lot that goes into this. But it is solvable. I think that it absolutely is.
Think about where we are today. We have a legislature that's about to be reelected. We could put together this whole thing. Shelley's working hard. Voters vote in the right people. By the legislative session, we ought to be able to pass some new laws.
Let's
so
do
this
it.
Time next year, what do you think?
Let's do it. Let's pass those laws.
All right. Shelley, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.